Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, and the simple text number is 51551. Please wash your hands, and remember, if you can remember the last time you washed your hands, you're not washing them enough. That's the mantra still, as we seem to be getting a handle on COVID. We will be talking about mandatory hotel quarantine later on, because there's a head of steam building up against it, not just by commentators, but by our listeners, and indeed people who are in hotels at the moment. Okay, back to COVID and the knock-on effect it's having everywhere, including hospitals. Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You're on WhatsApp. Great. Peter, your mother is very seriously ill, unfortunately.
She is, yes. She's in hospital at the moment. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific issue, and I'd like to thank you for reaching out and let me amplify the issue that she's having, because I don't think it's an isolated incident. And I think it's something that people should be made aware of, particularly in the current situation we're all in.
Now, I know when you contact us, you say you don't want to name the hospital, but you want to tell you want to tell the your mother's side of what happened in the public ward.
Yeah. So I'll try from the outset. I'll try to be as articulate as clear as I can. What I would like to say is that I'm not pointing the finger at any one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more about the system. The hospital system and what goes awry more times than not, particularly with public patients. If I can give you just a small little bit of background to my mother, she's only 66 and she has 5 kids and 12 grandkids. She's a recipient of 2 liver and kidney transplants.
Okay.
And she's actually the oldest living recipient in Ireland. The last one was 19 years ago. She's also represented our country and got a gold medal in the transplant games. So the reason why I'm saying that is just to paint a picture of her character, to say that she's in particular a person that would never cause any fuss, and probably is a little bit upset that I'm making an issue on live radio, but I think it needs to be said. So just... This is an incident that happened last night. My mother, 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, has got a nasty pneumonia and has a heart issue, and went into hospital. And the process to get into hospital, it was gone through A&E, and it was very thorough and excellent in terms of COVID procedure. Tests were done, and she was cleared of COVID and then brought to a ward. And since then has been getting tests and treatment, and has been brought to a stable level considering how bad she was. But last night, she's in a public ward. A patient beside her was dying, and her family members were brought in. And brought in to say their goodbyes, I presume. I have a lot of compassion for that and empathy, and I understand that situation. But I'm quite livid and upset in that it wasn't until my mother actually asked the question, why are these people in here? Have they gotten COVID tests? And to which a nurse replied, sorry, we'll move them to a private room. She wasn't given any indication whether those people had been COVID compliant or tested or coming in, et cetera, et cetera. So she spent the night very concerned and worried. I made a complaint this morning to the complaints department, with which they told me a clinical nurse would be back in touch to tell me what are the ins and outs and the issues and the risks that are involved. And I still haven't heard anything. So, and I genuinely believe that, and it's not the first incident, but for a number of years, the treatment of public patients in our national hospitals, there's a huge disparity, and I think it needs to be talked about and addressed.
Peter, is there not a protocol? Because it's not the fault, as you're saying, it's not the fault of the other family either. But is there not a protocol that if a family are coming in and their relative is in great difficulty in terms of life prospects, that they do that in a private room?
I presume. Yeah, I presume that would be the protocol, but obviously it was broken last night for some reason, and I also have had no clarification as to why or is it certain wards or is it certain, like it's barmy. It's absolutely barmy. And I have to say, like, my mother's locked herself away, like most people in this country, for the good part of a year because she's immune suppressed. She's had liver and kidney transplants, so she's the most at risk. And you would think the safest place for her to go with an issue as she's had is to go into hospital because they are so compliant. And yet, this frivolous approach to somebody's safety, and it's not only hers, it's the other people that are in the ward as well. Surely they have the same fear and the same issues that my mother's facing today. Like, what happens? What happens now if something, God forbid, and I'm touching wood here, that something terrible does happen and there wasn't cover? Who's to answer for it? What are the protocols and what are the? Just, it's very upsetting.
Has your mother been vaccinated?
Not yet, no.
Has she not? No, even though she'd have.
No. She's only 66, so.
Well, the 66-year-old, apart from her underlying condition, which would strike me that she would have been in a pretty high category, a 66-year-old can register on Saturday. Now, it's only registering on the portal, but I have no idea when we're going to actually, people who are 66 and 65 and beyond are going to actually get a jab. But no wonder she's worried.
Yeah, and I wouldn't like to make the debate about a vaccination either. It's like it's more of a, you know, like that's because
let me put it to you bluntly, Peter. Do you believe if your mother had been a private patient, this wouldn't have happened?
I couldn't say that 100%, but I could definitely say that it would largely lean towards a high percentage that it wouldn't. I'll say that in personal experience, in that I do actually have private insurance, and many of my peers do, and other people I know. Now, my mother has been sick for a long, long time, and unfortunately, when she initially got sick, it just became too expensive to insure her. She's always had to be medical card.
But you say she's had two transplants of two organs.
The last transplant she's had was 19 years ago, and it was a liver and kidney transplant.
Okay.
And before that, she'd had a liver transplant. So she's on her third liver and her third kidney now, I suppose is the best way to describe it. She's been through the mill. She's in hospital alone because her family, her husband, my father, and my siblings, none of us can get in to see her, alleviate the loneliness or the fear. Yeah. And yet, this incident occurs.
I think it would have taken a lot of courage for your mother, because she was obviously conscious that somebody in the next bed, unfortunately, was in great difficulty and possibly passing away. And that's why the family had been brought in for a compassionate visit. But it would have taken great courage on her part to raise the issue.
Yeah. She's all alone. Yeah, she's all alone. And I would say that it's a very difficult time for... not only us, but I'm sure many families that you can't get in to see a loved one inside in hospital, because now we've had a lot of experience because she has been ill for a long time. And we found that over the years, when we get to engage with doctors and nurses over the years, we found out more information, because also all of the information that's being relayed to my mother, who's gravely ill at the moment, is being relayed back to us. And it's difficult to get a clear picture of everything. And then just stupidity of the highest degree to have something like this happen,
people hear that
and they do a great job.
And what is the treatment your mother is receiving in terms of?
So she got
pneumonia.
Pneumonia, and then so she has a heart issue that her lungs are filling up with heart fluid. So there's no real answer at the moment. There's a number of tests that she's been doing. She's been made comfortable, but she has had to have help with her breathing, because she's just not getting enough oxygen. So, and she's very weak.
And has she been in intensive care, or hopefully that's
not. I'll refer back to her character. She's such a warrior. She's a person that won't give up easy, you know. The doctor, when she came in, actually couldn't believe that she was still able to breathe by herself because her lungs were so bad. Yeah. So.
Well, it's important to raise that issue that if that happened in a public ward, which your mother said it did, that relatives are brought in legitimately to talk to somebody who was at an end of life. Could it not have been done in a private room, given the worries about COVID? So our thoughts with that family as well. I know we're not identifying the hospital or the names. And our thoughts as well, Peter, with your mother. She's an extraordinarily courageous woman. That's Peter. Thanks indeed. Peter was on WhatsApp, as you could hear. Now, it's a medical issue. And again, it's COVID related, but it's on a different scale. But Audrey, it's still important. Audrey, in County Clare, we're trying to find out at this stage, is there any dentist in County Clare that will take medical card patients? What happened to you, Audrey?
I'm with my dentist for over 15 years.
Okay.
So I made an appointment with my dentist on the 18th of March.
Okay.
I was after leaving my GP and got antibiotics off my GP, and we thought it was my jaw that was wrong with me.
Okay.
So I phoned, made the appointment, was given the appointment for the 14th of April. Because of COVID, they're not taking as many patients and all that. Okay?
Yeah.
So I was hanging on for this appointment. And then on Tuesday, I got a phone call off the dentist. He got the assistant to ring me to tell me that he wasn't taking medical cards.
Right.
And I had to pay. So because I was a medical card patient, my appointment was cancelled.
Okay.
So that was okay, and I got onto the complaints department in the dental place.
Right.
And they said to try and resolve it, which I did. I sent the dentist a letter, which I sent to yourselves as well. And I sent it by email to the dentist, and I also had it ready to print the post in case he didn't check his emails. But about an hour later, the phone rang, and it was the dentist. And he says to me, God, Audrey, I didn't realise you were in pain. And I said, I've been in pain since I phoned. I explained to your assistant that I was coming out of the GP, and I was after starting antibiotics. And she says, oh, you wouldn't touch you with antibiotics anyway, which is fair enough. I said, the appointment was made. I was hanging on for that appointment. And I said, then you cancel it the day before.
Right.
Oh, I didn't realise you were in pain. Sure, come in to me tomorrow. God, I wouldn't see you in pain.
And, of course. And Audrey, were you covered on the medical card?
Yes. So in, I went to him there this morning at 11:15. And I'm lying on the bed, and he's examining my teeth and tapping them as he does. And he goes, this one has to come out.
Okay.
And he goes, I'll charge you just €70. Now, I thought by the phone call yesterday, he was looking after me on the medical card.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything. I think I was in shock again. And there, I had to pay out the €70. Even though I have the medical card, I had to pay him the €70. But November, my son, the same thing, he's only 16, he had a toothache, and I rang the HSE thinking he comes under the school dentist.
Yeah.
Because he's still in school, and that was last November, and he doesn't because they're only on it till they're 15. Once they turn 16, they come under a normal dentist. And like that, I rang my dentist and he said, no, that he wasn't taken on anymore. So I presumed he just wasn't taken on anymore.
And because I'm looking at the gov.ie website earlier on, and they list 8 different locations in Clare, and there's about 50 dentists. Now, I presume they've listed them because they're available to medical card holders, but...
No, not anymore. When you ring them, they'll tell you they're not taken on any new patients.
But they're all on the Department of Social Welfare website.
Yeah, we rang about 50 dentists that time for Dara, and eventually I had to get one in Limerick. So I have to travel an hour now to a dentist because there isn't one in Clare.
Well, there's about 16 of them in Ennis on the on the department
but
website.
But not one of them. Yeah, not one of them will take a medical card.
Wow. And do they say why not?
They just said they're full. Now, my dentist today, when he was giving out, it's just, he keeps going, we didn't get any help with PPE gear.
Hmm.
We have to buy that ourselves. That's why I'm not doing medical cards. I mean, he shouldn't be saying that to the patients, and that argument is with the HSE, it's not with the patients.
Good point, yeah.
But the patients are the ones that are suffering.
And by the way, the 70 quid this morning, I know dentists are highly qualified and the equipment is expensive, etc., etc. But the 70 quid this morning, it'd want to be some Gucci PPE if you're paying 70 quid for it.
Mm.
Like a fiver would cover, I presume, the PPE.
I would have thought that as well. No, he charged me the €70 this morning.
Well, we spoke to the dentist in question and they confirmed they're no longer treating medical card patients for a number of reasons, including the HSE not supplying PPE gear during the COVID crisis. Now, they were promised peace, so was the HSE breaking their promise or coming under pressure or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. But that's not the patient's fault.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
I'm with him over 15 years. He has all my records. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, really important, yeah. And have you had many extractions, Audrey? Do you mind me asking?
I've had a few, yeah. I have Lyme's disease. And the problem with Lyme's disease is dental is one of those issues with Lyme's.
What do you mean?
The Lyme's disease will affect, you know, the gums and the mouth and all that. And the old fillings that were printed years ago, you can't have them anymore.
Well, now they have mercury or whatever in them. But how did you get Lyme's disease, do you know?
I was here cutting the grass when I was bit, at home in my own garden.
And did you know you had Lyme? Cause people...
I went up to the doctor, and the doctor asked me, was I in any forest or anything? I said, no, I was at home cutting the grass when I was bitten. And he tested me for Lyme's disease.
Wow, well done.
But it's a complicated test. So the test came back negative here because there's only a 50% chance of it coming back positive. It's a very outdated test.
Okay.
So I had to get the money together and send to Germany to be tested because I was so sick. I couldn't walk. I was after being in Croom Hospital for a couple of weeks, unable to walk in the Bone Hospital. So I sent to Germany and the test came back that I had Lyme's disease. So there's one doctor in Ireland treating Lyme's disease, and at the time I was gone 2 years ago. He had a year's waiting list. I couldn't wait. So I found another.
That's Jack Lambert in the matter.
That's right,
yeah.
So I found another doctor in London.
Okay.
And I went to London and I was being treated by them for, I'd done a year and a half on antibiotics with those.
And how are you doing now, Audrey?
And I was doing great till September. Then I ran out of money and, of course, COVID hit and everything. Yeah. So I haven't had any antibiotics since September.
Why not?
Now, he can't prescribe me anymore because I've got to get money for bloods. Bloods are about 800 quid. And when you're on disability, where am I to get the money?
And the blood's not covered on the medical card?
No.
Why not?
Because they're different bloods. They're not done here.
Because it's going to... And who organises for your bloods to be sent to Germany?
The Armin Labs in Germany would send a kit when I request it. I go up to my GP and he'll draw the bloods. And then a courier will come and collect it and it'll fly over to Germany and be tested there.
Oh my God, you have your burdens. And Audrey, have you... can you remember, what do you get in a dentist on the medical card?
You're entitled to 2 fillings a year.
Okay.
Or any amount of extractions that need to come in.
That's bizarre, isn't it? 2 fillings.
Mm. So
I'm not saying this happens, but if you go along and you need a third filling, you have to pay for it, unless the doctor says to you, actually, will I take it out? And that means it'll be free.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. That's how I've lost a good few teeth because, of course, I wouldn't have the money to get them fixed or get root canal treatment or anything like that. So the option would be to pull it down because the medical card wouldn't cover.
So two fillings and as many extractions as...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So if you want your teeth cleaned or anything, you have to pay for that yourself, which I have done over the years.
Okay, okay. So where, what's your next step now? On the, by the way, when you got the bite, did you go to the dent to the doctor immediately?
It was about a week later when my leg started to swell.
And did you see the bullseye? It's not about to say it's a bullseye bite.
Yeah.
The red dot in the middle and then the circle. Go and get it. And the sooner you go, the better.
Mm.
Yeah, but a lot of people are unaware of it.
And
as you say, there's very little information on it in Ireland.
Very little. And then, of course, doctors won't help you then. Now, I'm extremely lucky. I have a great GP that has stood by me through it all.
Great.
Extremely lucky.
Okay. How are you now after your extraction?
It's sore now. My face is very sore. But I didn't have a choice. I was lying on the bed when he said €70. I'd no choice but to do it.
Okay. But you would have, like, people would do anything with a toothache, wouldn't they?
To get rid of the pain,
Oh, my God. Okay, Audrey, mind yourself.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks. And you say there isn't a single dentist now in all of County Clare that would take a medical card. Your belief.
Yeah, absolutely not. Because when I had to bring my son, we rang hundreds and kept at it. Myself and the lady out with the HSE at the different times were doing different dentists. And eventually she actually got me.
Surely it should be up on the Department of Social Welfare. Instead of having...
It should be.
They've got 50 dentists. You say there's none.
None. No. You won't get a dentist in Clare to take a Medicare.
And have they all agreed? Is this a campaign? Have they all agreed to do this?
They all must have agreed, I'd say.
Not one of them will break ranks.
No. They all must have agreed in Clare to do it. But yeah, you can go outside the county and get one.
Okay. And you said 70 quid is 70 quid you had budgeted for something else, I presume.
Shopping.
Yeah, of course. Living it's called. Living.
Yeah.
Surviving. Okay, Audrey, mind yourself. That's Audrey O'Brien in County Clare. Back to this whole issue that began. Well, it began under different umbrella about a week ago about attacks on and hit and run. And then we got a phone call on Monday from John. And John was cycling the Wicklow Gap last Saturday. And out of the blue, up behind him, he was going at a fair pace. This car came. He believes it was a car. And someone was sitting or hanging at the passenger window and pushed him as he cycled. He went head first into a ditch. And as one of the locals told us yesterday when they contacted us, who came across John in the ditch, those ditches are littered with granite rocks. And if John had hit one, he'd be dead. And as John said himself, he's lucky not to be dead. And then we had this bizarre development where one of our listeners contacted us and said, can we send you this video we've come across? It might be, we're trying to check if it's the same man. We sent the video to John. And then, lo and behold, John realised it was him. They'd actually videoed what they were doing from inside the car. And the video's up there on at Joe RTE, at Joe Liveline and at RTE Liveline on Twitter, loads of other platforms as well. And you can see the stills of it in today's Daily Mail, Irish Daily Mail, and indeed the Star. And the stills, the screen grabs from it are even more shocking, I think. But anyway, we don't know if the three men have handed themselves in at this stage. But Mandy Layton, this happened in County Wexford a couple of years ago. What occurred?
Hiya, Joe. Hi, Mandy. Lovely to talk to you.
Likewise.
Yeah, I was coming. You would think this is a story from the Wild West or something, a gun-toting town. But yeah, a lovely country road in Wexford. And this happened a few years ago, but I was driving along, and about maybe 60 yards a car was approaching, and I could see it slowing down.
Right.
So I presumed maybe somebody lost, looking for directions, so I slowed down myself. And as they got closer and closer, I could see they were opening the window, and I thought, oh yeah, this is definitely someone looking for directions.
Okay.
So I slowed down, nearly prepared to stop, and wound down my own window. And with that, the driver, so still driving the car, leaned his head out, and then proceeded with his arm like from a 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock position and aimed a gun at me.
Wow.
And you don't know how you're going to react, but I actually ducked. I ducked down in the car.
Okay.
And as they passed by, obviously my window was open, all I heard was click, 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 and the roars of laughter of obviously a young fellow in the car. And I got such a fright. I mean, my heart went cold.
So they, honestly, they pulled the trigger as if to shoot you.
Yeah. I could hear click, 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 and I was in such shock at the time. But all I kept thinking afterward was, gosh, should I have done a U-turn somewhere and got the registration? Should I have gone to the guard station? Like that, I could have driven into somebody walking the road pushing a buggy. I could have driven into them. I mean, I literally wasn't watching where I was driving. I got such a shock. And
Mandy, yeah, how many were in the car?
Oh, I'd say the car was full. There was four or five lads in it anyway.
Yeah,
now I don't remember the guy's face, thankfully, because I mean, still to this day, as I pass that actual place, my heart skips a beat. Every single time I pass that place, I go, oh my God, this is the place, this is where it happened.
And did you report it?
I didn't.
Okay, in fairness to you, the guards would have said, do you have the reg? Do you have the make of the car?
Yeah. I didn't. I wouldn't be that type who could look at a car and tell immediately. I knew it was.
Well, I'll tell you something, Mandy. Mandy, I don't know whether you saw the video of John being attacked in the Wicklow Gap.
I did. My son showed it to me last night.
It's unbelievable. But from that video, there's really sharp people out there. We've got one chap, he tweeted it, he managed to, even though it's a very short piece we actually put up on air, he managed to get the brand of the clothing that the man in white who was hanging out the window, he was wearing. And I can tell that person, because I've seen the rest of the video, he got it right. It's an incredible bit of forensic work. Talk about CSI, yeah. Balting Glass. And then then another caller, and they tweeted this as well, has identified the make of car.
Wow.
From, which is incredible, from the footage of the inside of the car, and the it's up on Twitter, and it's, and he says this is, I won't read out, this is a particular make of a particular version of this model. It was produced between, he gave the years, had a particular name on it, and the colouring outside was a particular, it was duo colouring. It's just incredible what people can work out from very, very, very little images. But as I say, I can understand why. What were you going to say to the guards? Did you say it to your family, Mandy?
I did. I said it to my husband, and he thought it was hilarious, actually, at the time. He just was laughing at me. I think it may be a nervous laugh or whatever, but he was like, just couldn't believe that could happen on a really quite, like, it's a country road. Like, if we just, not even a Dublin road where you'd have a path each side. I mean, if someone had been walking the roads, Joe, I could have easily have knocked somebody down because I wasn't watching where I was driving.
Because you were so shook.
I don't. Yes. Because I ducked down. I ducked down. Like, I actually ducked down behind my own steering wheel.
And was your car, was your car still moving when you ducked down?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay. I thought you'd stopped.
Yeah, I was driving. I was preparing to stop, so I wasn't going.
Yeah, you thought you were slowing down. Yeah,
because I thought maybe it's somebody looking for. And even when his head came out, I really thought, yeah, I wound down my own window at that stage because I thought, oh, this is definitely somebody looking for directions. And it's a windy road. It's not even the type of road you really would stop on anyway. But I just thought, oh, this is someone looking for directions. And it was just like something out of a movie. Yeah. It was like something out of
a movie. They were having a laugh.
I even said that to your researcher. Yeah, I said that to your researcher. I'm half afraid telling the story in case it gives ideas to young people, like for another prank. There was another one yesterday evening, Joe, that came on one of my WhatsApp groups, and it was like that, just a prank, complete prank, where one guy is hiding behind the wall with two balloons. And they're adjacent to another street coming down. You have people casually walking down the other street. And the guy backs off as acting, just pure acting, as if he's scared, mm-hmm. and the other guy bursts the balloon, and he falls on the ground as if he's been shot, and then the people in the lane where you see them frightened out of their minds, running up.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, this type of thing is probably, it's all acted out. But it could give kids ideas, yeah. you know,
well,
for mischief.
Well, Justin, if the lads on Saturday opened the Wicklow Gap, and apparently somebody said they saw them, and that we're trying to verify that it might be the same crew up around Talla earlier that morning, trying to do a similar thing unsuccessfully, i.e. hanging out the window. Now, do you think, Mandy, that because they're posting these things, that's how we got, though we got it from a WhatsApp group, we didn't get it from... Yeah. YouTube or Twitter or whatever, but what is it like? Do you think was any of them filming in the car when they whipped out the gun and clicked?
You know,
it three
I don't
times?
Know, Joe. No, I wish I had a dash cam or something like that myself. But I'm a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to all that IT mm-hmm. stuff. But if I had a dash cam, I mean, they would have been caught like that, red-handed, and their reg and their car and even their face. I mean, because I mean, he hung out the window. You would have seen everything. And I hope that maybe they realised how dangerous it was, a stupid prank, and never done it again, is what you'd hope.
Okay. Mind yourself, Mandy. That's Mandy Layton.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lovely to talk to
likewise,
you.
Mandy. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Ed Milan was on the line. Ed, sorry we couldn't get to you yesterday. Ed, good afternoon.
No. Hi, no problem.
And Ed, well known. Your name is very well known in the art world and design world. But it's Scrabble we're going to talk about. And the fact there is a Scrabble scandal at the moment, S-C-A-N-D-A-L, I think that's 1 and 3, 4, 1, 5, and 7, and 1, 8, and 1, 9, and 2, 11, and I'm on a double word, that's 22, and I have two triple letters, that's 20. That's a scandal, 27 points I'm after getting for that. What's the row?
It's not really a scandal, but it's a controversy because there was an article in the... Times, the British Times, London Times, about Mattel, the toy company that owns Scrabble now, has decided to ban 400 words. I think it's 400. They haven't published the list yet, but they're politically incorrect words. So,
what do you mean, Ed? I know you're an avid. I didn't know there was Scrabble. Clubs, well, obviously it's changed in COVID, but there's Scrabble meetings, isn't there? People meet.
There are. I actually run a Scrabble club in Dunleary. I started about 2 years before the COVID pandemic, and we've had to disband it this year because of it's closed quarters and. But there are about seven or eight clubs around Ireland, about 50 regular players. And we play competitions as well. Different clubs would host a competition. And then there's international stuff as well. A lot of people go to play in Britain and Malta and places like that. I used to play in the States as well, and those would be even more... they're big, they're very big clubs. Anyway.
And Ed, so just to come back, I want to find out about those clubs, but you say they've banned 400 words. And what does that mean if you use them on the board?
You're not allowed to use them. We use a dictionary.
There is a Scrabble dictionary, isn't there?
There's a Scrabble dictionary we use. It's the Collins Scrabble words. 2019 is the one we're working on, and they add words every 3 years, and we have, you need to learn, well, especially the small words, you need to learn them, like last time they put in new words, ZE was introduced, that's a gender-neutral pronoun.
Okay.
So it's, the game is changing with the language, as the language develops, they change the words. So they've taken out words. They haven't published the list, so I don't know exactly what words they've taken out. But, you know, something like, it's hard to say them on air because some of them would probably beep out. But something like fag probably would be taken out because it's derogatory. It has two meanings, you know, it could mean a cigarette or a gay person. So I don't know if that'll be taken out, but that's the type of words that is under threat, you know.
Ed, I know fag, as you said, is a derogatory term for a gay person. But if you use it in a board game, you're not using it in a derogatory way.
That's right.
You don't have to.
On the Scrabble boards. Yeah, I know. I suppose that's the controversy. A lot of people feel that they're just words. I personally think that it's better to change the language a little bit, and because it just affects people's attitudes. I think. I'm in the minority in the Scrabble world, but. But I do think that, you know, it's important to to use words that, or to not use words that are in any way inflammatory.
But Ed, if you, for example, to come back to the Z word, Z-E, which, as you said, is a gender neutral
pronoun
for a person. But in other words, is that how you pronounce it? Z is a writer.
Yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
But you're not asked in Scrabble to put the word into a sentence.
No, that's right. Yeah, you just and a lot of times Scrabble players just think of the words as points.
Yeah.
You know, like a word like we use the word Jew in Scrabble. It's allowed. It's allowed right now, but it might be one of the banned words.
Jew as a
verb to bargain, and that might be taken out because it's also controversial. But you know, if you get the eight point J on a triple letter going two ways, it could be worth 48 points. So that's the way Scrabble players think about it, and I think the controversy is that they don't think it's not being used as a derogatory term on the board, but you know, some people might find it insulting and demeaning. So
are there Irish, like what about the word somebody said to us yesterday? What about the word culchi?
Yeah, culchi is supposed to be one of the banned words. That was announced, and there was a bit of a few articles in the newspaper about it, and you know, I think it was mistakenly. I mean, maybe it's because I don't know if it's used elsewhere, but a lot of people thought it wasn't a derogatory term. And a friend of mine's father is from Culture Ma, and apparently it comes from that. So they were shocked by it. Anyway, yeah.
But can I just come back to
sure?
Your Scrabble club is now gone.
No, it's just on hold.
Because of the community centre
and it's closed.
Yeah, and I know near where I live, St Gabriel's Community Centre have a very active...
I used to play there.
Yeah, they're very active. The car park is full, I think, of a Tuesday night. With Scrabble.
I
remember asking, I was walking by when I had something, that's a Scrabble club. Does that mean chess clubs are gone, suspended? Drafts? Is there drafts clubs in Ireland, people play checkers?
I don't know, I suppose, but... anything indoor is suspended.
Wow.
If they're in community halls, I mean, you're not allowed to. And we used to play, at the beginning of COVID, between lockdowns, we used to play in people's gardens with masks on and stuff like that. But that's been suspended as well. So.
And do you remember, Ed, when you got this? Because you're a visual artist, aren't you?
I'm thinking the same.
And you've exhibited. Yeah, Have I seen your work in the RHA, for example? I think
you have.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you get involved in the art of language and word making and word smithing?
I don't know. My parents used to play Scrabble and I played with them, and then my wife kind of dared me to go on a competition, and I did. And And then I just kept playing. I the first competition I think I did was in Ireland in the Royal Marine Hotel.
Okay.
And I actually won the highest word, so I was really hooked once that happened.
And what was that word, Ed? Can you remember?
I remember, yeah. It was worrying. Across the two triples, and the Y was on a double letter, so it was 164 points.
Oh, well done.
And I won a Scrabble board as a prize. So I was
points mean prizes. But Ed, look at the room at this, when you had your Scrabble club. What am I looking at gender wise and age wise and?
It tends to be older. We're always looking for younger people. We have a 23-year-old guy in our club in Dunleary, and but it's mixed. I suppose it's more women, and it would be, you know, people would be definitely over 40. It's okay. the main age, I suppose. But we are always trying to get younger players.
And then in terms of gender, he, she, or Z?
Yeah, all of the above.
Now, I've used a word in a sentence.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, I was thinking, when, you know, in terms of word changes, you know, when you think of a word like Ms. From Ms. Magazine, you know, everybody was sort of so averse to using it. They all thought it sounded odd, but that's really completely accepted now, 40 years later, or 30 years later. I'm not sure when it started, but... And that's a word in Scrabble, too. We use M-I-Z is I think that's the way they spell it.
Okay. And so, do you do crosswords? Do you play Boggle? Do you do other?
I do a little bit, yeah. I like word games all the time, yeah. Okay. I don't do crosswords that much.
Well, then who was I listening to with Claire the other morning, the consultant talking about Parkinson's? And he was saying that you just... keep trying, insofar as anything makes a difference. But he said, try and keep your mind active.
Absolutely.
Stay there, Ed Milan. We're talking about Scrabble. Now, and this 400 words, according to Ed, are going to be thrown out of the Scrabble dictionary because of their meaning. Anne Ling, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And give us your Scrabble credentials, please. C-R-E-D-E-N-T-I-A-L-S. That's 40 multiplied by 2 across. So that's 64 letters, Ed. And give us your credentials, Scrabble-wise.
Well, it's so long now since we played that I've nearly lost touch. But I've always enjoyed words.
Okay.
And anything to with words. At the moment, I do it online.
Yeah.
Because we can't meet in the halls or anything like that now, you know. So
Anne's being very modest there. She runs a monthly tournament in Churchtown at the parish church there, and she does a great job. And she also does the crossword while everybody else is still taking their turns.
So Anne, you're
that's true.
You're up there. And is it true? Is the spelling of your name Lyng?
Yes.
Yeah, Anne Ling. Because someone had just texted and say you were a former Countdown quarter finalist.
Yes. That's true.
So you have a great knack for looking at words and turning them.
I just have to look at letters and I can make a word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just look at letters and you can make a word.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I said to you, Anne, A-L-E-B-R-C-B-S... you'd have to write it down, wouldn't you?
Calibers.
Well, I'm thinking of Scrabble.
Sorry,
I know. Yeah, and you do things visually. Now, Anne, tell us about when did you get interested in Scrabble and addicted to it, as you say?
Oh gosh, it must be 20 odd 30 years ago.
And what do you love about it?
I just love letters and making up different words out of letters. You know, changing something with one thing in it and making it another.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And what other word games do you, the word challenges, do you like? Crossword, obviously, Ed Miliana said.
Yes.
Well, what
and,
else?
And Scrabble. That they're my two favourites.
Okay. And if somebody is good at Scrabble, what else are they good at? They're good at crosswords, are they?
Well, sometimes it depends on who the setter was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Anne, can you remember the highest scoring word you ever got? Because Ed Miliano got worrying.
How are you, Ed?
For 164. Can you remember the highest score you ever got, Anne?
Something around that, too.
Ooh. Can you remember the words?
No.
It was probably modesty, because you're very modest, Anne. Stay with us, Anne. John Bowler, 5155, wash your hands. Joe with RT.ie. Anne Ling, have you got a pen and paper with you there?
I haven't.
Okay, you haven't.
Well, I can go get it.
Yeah, I'll take a break. You go get it. I want to set you and Ed a little challenge, a word challenge. I want you to see how many words you can make out of the three words, wash your hands. Three words, W-A-S-H-Y-O-U. You can play this at home, by the way.
Wash.
W-A-S-H. Ed, have you a pen and paper handy? Yeah. Your Y-O-U-R, the Y might be difficult. And H-A-N-D-S. Wash your hands and just, we'll come back to
you. You want them in separate words.
Yeah, many words can you make out of that, of three letters or more? See that? I'm making up my own rules.
Yeah, I'm starting already.
John Bowler before the break. John, are you there? John,
I'm
you are
here,
there.
Joe, yeah.
Are you a Scrabble player?
I'm not. I've played Scrabble in the past, but, you know.
Do you want to join in our competition? Wash your hands.
I'd have to go and get a biro, and I'm nowhere where I can get
not to worry. So you're saying, and this is the reason we're talking about this today, Scrabble are taking out 400 words, including apparently the word culture. You cannot use it. And what do you think of that?
I think it's a bit strange. It's really up to the Scrabble makers, I suppose, and those who play it, but I just think it's very strange, because from what I've seen, culture actually, let's say, is not an offensive word as such. It is originally I suppose you could call it a career designation, like farmer, fisherman, carpenter. That's what it was. It comes from an old French word, culch, which meant beige. Mm-hmm. And then in the early 18th century, it sort of drifted into English, and it referred to a bed of broken seashells that was laid down in order to cultivate oyster beds.
Wow.
So, I always mentioned earlier on the show that it came from El Kilchama. I always heard that myself, I suppose, 30 years ago. I was hearing that, but more recently I've heard the other view that it comes from culch. So those people who laid down the culch on the oyster beds became known as culchies. And I know this, basically I'm from Malahide, Joe, or I grew up in Malahide, and there was oyster beds there. And just through some of the Malahide stories and historical anecdotes and stories, I learned about this.
Okay. So you think it's a political correctness gone mad?
It has come to where the word certainly was. Referring to these people, who harvested oysters. In Victorian times, it was sort of then used to talk about anyone from Malahide, Sutton, Hope, because there was oyster beds all along.
Yeah, Clontarf.
And then it moved further, and if anyone smelled of manure or any type of rotten material like that, they were called a culchi. And then, of course, we know somehow transformed into meaning anyone outside of Dublin City itself. So it's changed the meaning all the way down. But it's the origin of the word is, you know, someone who works on oyster beds.
Okay. And someone said Anne Ling, he should be called Anagram. Don't tell me.
Oh, but
many words have you got so far?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Okay, have you any six-letter words?
No, not yet.
Ah, you see. I've got Ed, Ed, how many have you got? Many words have you got?
23. And I have one six-letter, and two sevens.
Wow.
Shadows.
No, don't give them away. Oh. Yeah, don't give them away.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and I've won six letter. And I'm doing that while I'm interviewing people, while I'm in work. Okay, let's take a break. Don't say anything. Anyone at home wants to play this, there's no prizes as such. But we're talking about Scrabble and their decision to remove 400 words from the board.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, Scrabble are... there's a split in the Scrabble world. First of all, Scrabble is one of the games that's been hit by COVID. I didn't realise this. There are Scrabble clubs in Ireland that meet around the country, seven or eight of them as far as we get. And obviously COVID means they can't meet face-to-face. Ed Miliano, a lot of people know him as an artist, but he's also an avid Scrabble player. So is Anne Ling. John Baller is good on the etymology of words. Ed, go through. We call time. I asked the two of you to see how many words you come up using the letters and the words wash your hands. Now, first of all, Ed, you want the bad news. And the bad news is, according to, which I haven't looked at and haven't got access to, but according to the Scrabble online program, there are, from the words wash your hands, there are 638 words.
Wow.
Wouldn't even have time to write them all down.
Okay, yeah. Anne, tell us your words from wash your hands.
Weary, wand, wash,
yeah.
Words, a wash,
oh, lovely.
Ash, sand,
yeah.
Sandy, sour, say, shady, sway, hard.
Lovely.
Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Hours, wards, show, shown, sash, hours, rush.
And what's the... You've done brilliantly during the break. What's the longest word you got out of wash your hands?
Well, I only went up to the fives yet.
Oh, did you? Oh, you play that way, do you? Incrementally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, what words did you get that anagram didn't get?
Let's see. I don't know if she said harsh.
No, yeah. She didn't. Did she say harsh? Okay.
Harsh, okay. I'll tell you the longer ones because I went for longer. There's Randy, Handy, Sandy, and then Shadow.
Yeah, lovely.
Shard,
yeah.
Shards, Shadows, Shadowy.
Oh, yeah, wow.
If I were to open my connecting door... Here,
yeah.
Now, you'd hear the program on RTE going on. They're nearly finished.
Okay. Now, the only word I got that of six letters was sachet, S-A-S-H-A-Y.
Oh, nice.
What do you think of that, Ed? What do you think of that? Would that get me into the Scrabble Club?
Good, I'd say, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds very good.
Where is Diana Cassidy? Diana.
Hi, Joe.
You love Scrabble.
I enjoy Scrabble. No, I don't do it professionally or anything like that.
Yeah, well, does anyone do
Neither
it professionally?
Do we.
No one does.
No, I don't think so.
On Facebook, there up to a couple of years ago, Scrabble Mattel had a game that I was playing for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And you could invite three. You could write one person, two, three, or a random selection. It didn't matter.
Okay.
And it was easy to see. It was easy to work with. And then about 2 years ago, they changed it.
Ah.
And they brought the board almost so you nearly need a microscope to see it. You couldn't really, they just made it so user unfriendly that I tried it for about two or three months, I think, and then I just gave up. I thought, I'm not doing this. And even the people that I played with, one was my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
There was a friend down the road. There was another friend just over in the village across the way.
So you could play with anyone around the world, could you?
Yeah.
And what were the changes to the online game that Mattel made that made you give up?
They made the board a lot smaller on the screen. If you wanted to put a word in, you had to kind of scrunch. You had to focus in on the two lines above and below and to each side of the word that you wanted to put in. You couldn't see the whole board. They put in so many ads in there and share your score now and all this that they didn't have on the original one. And there's a lot of complaints on Facebook online about it.
Joe, there are other other websites. There's the Internet Scrabble Club. A lot of players play on that.
Oh, great.
And it's you can play at any level. And there's also, I play every day on the pixiepit.co.uk. And
what's
it
called, Ed?
Program.
The Pixie?
pixiepit.co.uk.
Okay.
And I play with a friend in South Africa, and we play every day at it.
And is that free?
No, that's £15 a year.
Okay.
Yeah. The Scrabble Hotel one was free, and there was just no problem. They just made it a lot more difficult, a lot more clunky, and I just don't know. And my friends that I played with as well, they gave up on it as well. And there was a lot of complaints on the Facebook page about it, but it never. And they did say, "Oh, you can get the original one on such and such a platform." No matter how much I tried, I could never get access to the original.
After the COVID pandemic is over, you should come and play in a club.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed. Somebody said Boggle is free online.
I think it is. Yeah, I have played that with my nephews.
Yeah, but I detected it. Yeah, but I detect, Ed, in your voice there, you're saying Boggle is basically Scrabble for slow learners.
No. Boggle's great. I love it. We play it on, family holidays and stuff.
Scrabble is Boggle that went to Trinity. I think that's what you're saying. Okay, stay with us now. The most interesting one I've had in so far, Wash Your Hands is an anagram of Sandy Shaw Hour. So,
very good.
So 51551 Sandy Shire.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We're talking to Ed Miliano, Anne Ling, and a number of other callers. They are Scrabble addicts because Scrabble have announced that they're going to ban 400 words. In other words, if you come up with one of these words in a game, regardless of the meaning you have in your head for it, if you cannot use it. We've been, and one example given so far by Ed, he thinks is a fag, as in fag of a cigarette, but obviously it's a pejorative phrase for people who are gay, so they've eliminated that word. So if you got the word fag on the board, you can't get a score. This is now Hasbro, as you know, one of the biggest games makers in the world. They're based in Ireland. They have a massive plant down in Waterford, and they've given us this statement. Hasbro Gaming is rooted in community and bringing people together, and we are committed to providing an experience that is inclusive and enjoyable for all. For that reason, Hasbro is changing the official rules of its Scrabble game to make clear that slurs, S-L-U-R-S, are not permissible in any form of the game. As background, the Merriam-Webster Official Scrabble Players Dictionary
That's a mouthful. Is the official word list for North America, where Hasbro owns the rights to Scrabble. We first worked with Merriam-Webster in 1994 to remove offensive words from the Scrabble dictionary and have since made it our policy to review the full word list prior to each reprinting, knowing that as times change, Ed was making this point, language evolves. We're now on the sixth edition of the Merriam-Webster official Scrabble Players Dictionary, a mouthful, and words have been removed prior to each printing. More recently, we've been in discussion with NASPA, N-A-S-P-A, which, as you all know, is the North American Scrabble Players Association, who have agreed to remove all slurs, S-L-U-R-S, from their word list for Scrabble tournament play, which is managed solely by NASPA, the North American Scrabble Players Association, and available only to members. Okay. Now, Matt, what's Mattel got? Ed, do you know who invented Scrabble?
Well, it was, yeah, this guy... I can't remember. I think it was Edward. I'm not sure. But he was an American. I think he was an architect. I'm not sure. But okay. He invented the game in the 40s, I think. 40s or early 50s. And he what he did for the... I remember the fascinating thing was he took the front page of the New York Times and counted the letters.
Oh, wow.
And that's how he decided on the distribution of the letters.
Well, you've a great memory, because you're right. I've just been told the inventor of Scrabble was Alfred Mosher Butts.
Oh, Alfred.
In the 1930s, and he was an out-of-work architect after the Great Depression, and he wanted to invent a game that would lift the spirits of millions.
Yeah, that's right. And Selchow and Ryder was the first owner of it. They had the patent on it, and they sold it to Mattel. And I think Hasbro Mattel is the same company.
Okay.
That's recent. I think Mattel took it over in maybe about 10 years ago.
Okay. And are people? I wonder, Ed or Andy, you know, are people playing more of these type of games? I don't mean Monopoly, but these type of, where you can almost challenge yourself.
Yes.
During the lockdown,
I've taken out my book, and there are 1,184 pages.
In the dictionary?
Yeah.
In the Scrabble dictionary, wow. Mary Doyle is... Well, no, I'll go to Pat Morphy first. Sorry, Pat, we're holding on there. The word coachy gone from Scrabble, we believe.
Yes, I'm from Dundalk. I came up to Dublin. Hello, you still there?
Loud and clear, yes.
Right. Came up to Dublin in 1963 to work with Hammond Lane Industries in Pier Street.
Okay.
And I've always referred to it as a culture. And I'm absolutely proud of the fact that I'm a culture. Now, okay. I have nothing against Dublin jacking, but the culture was always very acceptable, and I never, ever took offence from being called a culture.
That's fascinating. Okay, so you don't see it as an offensive word?
Not at all. No, I'm sorry.
And do you play Scrabble, Pat?
Just on my own, on my laptop.
That's good. Yeah.
Laptop, you see, if I put a word in, the computer can check my word, but if he puts a word in, I can't check his, you know. But anyway, that's another story. But
And can you beat the computer?
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm not bad, yeah. Not pretty good on it. So okay. Listen, no, culture, keep it there. Long live the culture and long live jacking.
Okay. Stay with us more after this break. 51551 Sandy Shaw Hour.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about Scrabble and their decision, the decision of the makers to remove 400 words from, to ban them. In other words, if you get them on the board, you won't get points. And as you know, points mean prizes. But we're discovering there's a lot of people in Ireland to play Scrabble. Mary Doyle is in Wexford. Mary.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You are one of the founders of?
Wexford Scrabble Club.
Okay. And when did that start?
1992.
And up to the pandemic, because you've been hit by the pandemic, have
we
you?
We have, yeah.
So tell us, what was the protocols? Where did you meet and how often?
We meet in our club in Castlebridge.
Okay.
Just outside Wexford.
And how many?
But our numbers have diminished quite a bit. When we started initially, the numbers were quite high. But now we've only about 6 or 7.
And
very weary. Hello, Anne. How are you?
Hello, each other.
Okay. And Ed. Yeah.
And Mary, when you began, how many did you have at the Scrabble?
When we began, initially, it was about there were 10 of us, but then we went up to about 15-20.
And why do you think it fell off?
I'm not sure. A lot of people don't like our words, you know. They say, oh, they're not words, and we don't know the meaning of the words and what have you. But you don't have to have the meaning of the words.
That's true.
And that's why there's such controversy over the deletion of the words.
And when you had 15 people, Mary, did you ever have, I know you wouldn't have a fight, but did you ever have an R.O.W. a row?
Oh, no.
Ed, in your club, did you ever have an R.O.W.?
No, not really. I mean, we use word checkers. There's computer there are computer programs, so the dictionary is loaded onto this program, and you just check the words, so it's very, very palatable.
And you could never say to somebody, okay, if that's a word, use it in a sentence. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? Okay.
Yeah.
And Mary, you say people dropped off. Well, there's a lot of competition, isn't there, really, for people's time and in the evening?
There is, all right, yeah. And a lot of people went over to the bridge.
Oh, bridge, yeah.
Playing bridge, yeah. But yeah. I organise the tournaments in Wexford every year.
And how many?
2 years ago.
And how many would you get at that?
Oh, we'd have 48, 50. They came from all over Ireland. They came from England.
Wow.
I had them from Malta. I had two players from Israel that came to Ireland, Wexford.
Wow.
England, a lot. Germany. Mm.
Yeah.
And again, Mary, can you survey from your memory across the room, what was the age breakdown and the gender breakdown?
We did have one chap who started when he was 15, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He really was. But then he went to college, and he's now a doctor, and he's not in Wexford anymore, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But
and then young people would rather be out on the tiles rather than playing the tiles.
Yeah, they would.
Where's Christina? Stay there. Christina.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Who do you play Scrabble with every single day?
I play with my daughter. She's in British Columbia in Canada.
Okay.
And we play every day online.
At what time? Or do you have to play at the same time? Or can you make a move and go off and...
And she'll come back about 3:45 in the afternoon, because that's when she would be getting up. There's 8 hour time difference.
Yeah.
So she'll play, and then I play, and then she might play another few moves. And then it could be the next day again.
And you keep track of how many games you've won and how many games she's won.
Oh, yeah, I win most of them, and she's quite...
Oh, really? Really? I didn't ask you who won most of them, but thanks for volunteering that, Christina. I hope your daughter is listening in Canada.
She's a bone of contention, Joe.
And what's the highest scoring word you ever got?
104.
Oh, well done. Can you remember the word?
No, absolutely not.
And what's your daughter's first name?
Christina.
And as well?
Yeah, there's few names in the world. I had to choose that one.
Okay, well done. And Christina, the daughter, do you remember what's the highest scoring award she got?
Oh, it could be 80 or 90.
Okay.
And then your heart would sink when you see the long word coming back, you know.
So it is good to play online, is it?
Well, it's good, and it's kind of a good connection for me with her every day. You know,
and is there a sidebar where you can chat away to each other?
You can, but we don't normally, because we're kind of too absorbed with trying to get the points.
Wow. And when Christina Jr. was at home, did you play Scrabble in the house?
No. This only happened since the pandemic, really.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant?
It's very addictive. Like, I could play at 4 in the morning if I wake up, and then she'd play back to me, so...
But you did, well, 4 a.m. is what time in Canada?
It would have been 8 p.m. for her.
Okay. But you can have a go, and she doesn't necessarily have to come back in within 10 minutes.
No,
yeah, okay.
No, it could be the next day.
But that's lovely. Ina Clinton.
How are you, Joe?
Scrabble. You love it.
Yeah.
Why?
Love it. It's a terrific game, and you never play the same game twice. It's always a new game.
And how long have you been playing it, Ina?
About 50 years.
50 years.
Since we got married, yes.
And who do you play it with?
I play with my husband mostly, but the family, they all play it. My 2 sons and 2 daughters.
And would you have a Scrabble game on the go? Like, would you start a game and then you'd have to go off and...
Oh, no. It just has to be finished. No.
Oh, it has to be finished. But how long would it...
About an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you remember what's the highest scoring word you ever got, Ina? But 50 years, you probably got quite a few.
Probably around 100, I suppose, I'd say.
100, yeah. Well, Ed Miliano got 100. What was it again, Ed?
It's pathetic that I remember it.
Yeah, I know.
164.
Yeah, I just
oh,
want.
Very good. No,
I just
no,
want
never
it.
Got,
I
just, never got that right.
Okay.
Thanks for
sure. I just want Ed's friends to slag him later for boasting all the time, Ed, about your 164. Okay, we're inundated. INUNADATED. Inundated with people who love Scrabble and the Irish connection, the fact that it's manufactured. Do they do the Scrabble boards? And I know they do Monopoly down in Waterford, but we'll find out. Okay, back to, as I say, 638 words online from the letters Wash Your Hands. Believe it or not. Ina Clinton, Ed Miliano, Christina, Anne Ling, or Anagram as we're calling her. Thank you all. Back tomorrow
thanks,
at 1:45. Rebecca Mean produced, and YARRADYC is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.